over these next 2 weeks, I'd like us to consider some verses from Psalm 18. This week we turn to verse 6. Psalm 18 and verse 6. Psalm 18 in verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Dear congregation, in Hebrews 5 verse 7, the apostle writes concerning our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Here upon earth in his humiliation, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be in much distress. Well, in great distress he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Here we read, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now we have here a psalm of thanksgiving. Now if you note the title to the psalm, it is made known to us that this was offered by David after the Lord delivered him from all his enemies. We're mindful of those times he had been delivered, and now that he had been delivered from all his enemies, he offers from the depths of his heart this song of thanksgiving. And you notice in the title it's referred to as a song. And that reminds us that some of the psalms are songs. To the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul, and he said. Well, David, he looks back, and in doing so he also looks up, and he rejoices in the Lord and what he has done for him. He considers how he was heard by the Lord, and subsequently delivered from his distress. Now in verse 1, in offering up this song of praise, he makes known afresh his love to the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord my strength. He was loving the Lord, but his heart was stirred, and he would say, I will love thee. Such a strong emphasis here. I will love thee, in view of the future. He makes known afresh his promise to love, and his love itself. Dear brethren, let's do likewise today. Let's make known our love to the Lord. In verse 2, he considers the Lord his God and who he is, and in doing so, he exercises faith. And dear brethren, if you just notice these things in verse 2, is it not an aid to exercising faith? The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Consider what the Lord is to you. Is that not an aid to trust him at the beginning of this new week? And to trust him in difficult situations, because he is a rock to you, a fortress. He is your deliverer, your strength, and so on and so forth. In the third verse, he considers that the Lord is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call. And what is one of the great reasons we come to worship the Lord? It is because he is worthy. Yes, we are blessed in worship. The Lord speaks to us, but our great concern is to worship him, to give him praise. For he is worthy. And then from verse 4, as we come to this psalm, the psalmist now considers that time of great trial in which he was found. Well, in looking back in verse 6, he writes, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Now, as we listen to the psalmist, let's also be mindful of our Lord, as we've already seen in Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Now, we have seen before that in this psalm, we behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't got time to particularly go into this, but the proof of this is seen in Hebrews 2, verse 13, in light of verse 2 here, Romans 15, verse 9, and Luke 24, verse 44. It's made abundantly plain that here again in this psalm, we see Jesus. Andrew Bona, writing concerning this psalm and the Lord, wrote, "It is then our brother who sings here. It is then our brother who sings here." Hebrews 2, verse 13. And in your own time, cross-reference Hebrews 2, verse 13 to this very psalm. Would, dear congregation, consider here these things today for our learning. We learn from the example of David, but particularly from the example of Christ, who when he was here upon earth, in great distress, called unto the Lord. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he called up unto the Lord, and so on and so forth. In great trial, the Lord made known his cry, and the Lord heard, and in time he was delivered. Well, this week we're going to particularly focus on verse 6 and consider the Lord in those days of sorrow. We'll also consider David. Then next week, we'll consider in verse 16, deliverance. And we think, first of all, of the deliverance on the day of resurrection. But then also, we consider, in contrast to the distress, the large place that he was brought to there in verse 19. To heaven itself. So this week we'll consider Christ in sorrow, in distress. Next week we'll consider him exalted. We'll consider his resurrection, but then in heaven as well. It's all here in this psalm. And the apostle makes plain these things. Well, let's come this week to verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. First of all, we'll consider the Lord enabling in my distress. Secondly, in earnest prayer. And if time permits, thirdly, in thankfulness to God. In thankfulness to God, let's reflect that here is a song of thanksgiving. And David, first of all, is thanking the Lord for deliverance and that he was heard. But also we can consider Christ in light of Psalm 40 doing the same. First of all, in my distress. Secondly, in earnest prayer. And in thankfulness to God, thirdly. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. First of all then, in my distress. The Hebrew word which is translated here as distress can also be translated as a narrow place, a tight place, in strait. Now right at the outset, consider the distress in verse 6, a narrow place, and then the contrast in verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. The contrast is there. Do you see it? In verse 16, we'll consider next week, deliverance. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. This week, look at Psalm 40. He set my feet upon a rock and established my way. He took me from the horrible pit. Deliverance, we think first of all on the day of resurrection, but then on the day of ascension, taken to the large place of heaven. What a contrast. And it reminds us we will find many distresses here below. Many times we will find ourselves in a narrow place, but oh, when we get to heaven, it will be so different. What a large place. No storm will disturb us there in heaven. But let's note this distress. In my distress I called upon the Lord. In straits, the psalmist looks back to a former time when he was in great distress. Now right at the outset, just consider this afresh. David here upon earth could look back. Our Lord here upon earth could look back. He had been in distress, but now delivered. The psalmist had been delivered. And it reminds us, dear brethren, as we think of the distress here this morning, we will get through. That's a great lesson we see here in this psalm. And we learn from the title of the psalm. Our prayers will be heard and deliverance will come. It may be deliverance is afforded to us here below. But we can be assured of this. When we get to the large place of heaven, all our trials will be behind us. There will be a looking back, dear brethren. It may be the Lord in his mercy grants it for you here upon earth. It will surely be in heaven. Yes, it may be a while coming. When we think of the psalmist here, he's agonizing, he's crying, it's been a while. But all deliverance will come. We will be looking back. We'll be able to say, verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, let's consider then these words. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. My distress. It is something that David knew personally. David found himself in great danger while pursued by his enemies. There was Saul and others. Just note verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows or the cords of death. The sorrows of death were like cords wrapping themselves around him. He felt it so much. Sorrow was around him. It was encompassing him like cords. Spurgeon wrote, death like a cruel conqueror seemed to twist round about him as the cords of pain. Death was in view and he was in such sorrow. His enemies were hounding him. Saul desired his death, and so did many others. And as a result, sorrows as a cord wrapped themselves around him. He was believing he was in great danger of life. Was death about to meet him? The sorrows of death compass me about. Compass me. He was in sorrow. Death was on view. He was being hounded. There were dangerous and deadly troubles surrounding him. Note his enemies were like a flood. Verse 4, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. So many coming up against him, like the waves of the sea or a great flood. And it made him afraid. Then come to verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. The word prevented went on before and met him. The gates of hell were rattling. His enemies were pursuing. There were snares being laid and the grave was beckoning. Satan and his army were in hot pursuit. David was in great distress. In my distress. But let's now consider Christ here. In light of Hebrews 2 verse 13. And Hebrews 5 verse 7. Consider the sufferings of Christ. He had many enemies who desired his death. Early on, young people, children, there was King Herod. There were many Jews. There were the chief priests and the Pharisees, the scribes and the elders. There were the Roman soldiers. Consider how Satan harassed him. Consider how our Lord was hounded by his enemies. He knew great sorrow through his life, for he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But all his sorrows intensified near the end, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on trial, and at Golgotha on the cross. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to Peter, James and John, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. tarry ye here and watch with me. Death was in view for our Lord. The grave was beckoning him. Verse 5 then. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He was burdened with the iniquities of his people, and the wrath of God lay heavy upon him. What sorrow he knew. And consider all his enemies as well. What sorrow he knew. Psalm 116 verse 3, a parallel verse. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. The pains of hell, the distress, the straits. In my distress, we read here. Oh, what sorrows Christ faced. We only have to look at this psalm. He personally knew sorrow. Psalm 116 verse 3. I found trouble and sorrow, Christ sang in the upper room not long before he went to the cross. I found it. It was his testimony. He sang those words. He knew the reality. Verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. My distress. Dear brethren, our Lord could say, my distress, as he suffered for you. He knew sorrow. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with God. A man of sorrows. Such sorrows he knew throughout his life, but oh, he got more and more near the end. Psalm 88 verse 3, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Full of troubles. You think as he was in the garden, his soul was full of troubles. As he was before Pilate, his soul was full of troubles. And then being led to Calvary, his soul was full of troubles. And then on the cross, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. The grave was beckoning. Oh, the sorrow Christ knew within. Psalm 88 verse 7. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways, Selah. In my distress, dear brethren, marvel at these words. You're given a little insight to the heart of Christ whilst he was here upon earth. In my distress, as you read these words, it was for you, dear brethren. Ought we not to love the Lord more? Verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will. Oh, what thou hast suffered me, I will love thee more. For he was acquainted with sorrows personally. In my distress, it was something he knew, dear brethren. Oh, what he suffered here upon earth for us. One of old wrote, and in the fearful pangs of death, he wept, he prayed for me, loved and embraced my guilty soul when nailed to the tree. Well, we thought of David. We thought of Christ. Let's think now of the believer again. We face times of distress. When we find ourselves in tight places. It's a tight place if you drive a car. You may be desiring to park your car. And you see a little space, but it's a little tight and it's not easy to get in there. And when you get in there, you're really hemmed in, aren't you? You're stuck there, as it were, nearly. It's a tight place. We face such times. When trouble is hard up against us and we know sorrow within. Next Lord's Day, we'll consider heaven. He brought me forth into the large place. But here upon earth, we know many tight places, distresses, straits, sorrows right up against us. It may be physical pain. Pain so grips your body and you know much sorrow. But then particularly consider the sorrows that come into your heart. Maybe your enemies are harassing you. And godly men are making it difficult for you. And they're around you. And it's hard. Maybe certain ones in the workplace. Maybe your neighbour in the community. And it's hard. You're in a tight place. It may be a time when you're being so harassed by the devil. Remember what our Lord said to Simon Peter? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And there comes those times when we're sift in the sift. We're sift up and down. We're shaken about. We're being harassed. You wake up and there's a fiery dart. And throughout the day, more darts come. Maybe a time when you're fearful. You're in a tight place and there's difficulties and you become fearful. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. In my distress, what's going to happen? Well, maybe fearful of death. My soul is full of troubles. It can be hard going as we tread through the valley. Each step can be a struggle. The other day I was riding my bike down to Ringwood the day after it snowed. The roads were clear, but it was still very cold. And as I was cycling, my legs became numb. And as a result, I found it hard to keep pedaling the bicycle. When I got down to Ringwood, I was exhausted. It was hard going. You know what it is? When it's hard going, you're struggling. Each step, each day could be hard, and you can know sorrow in your heart daily, as the psalmist said in Psalm 13. We know what it is to struggle. Or maybe fearful of the grave. In my distress, one can be troubled within, troubled with thoughts of the future. In my distress, or it can be so difficult, dear brother. And we know it. My distress, we've all got difficulties in our way. One may say, well, if they only knew what I was suffering. But let's remember the other person will suffer in their life as well. In my distress, the child of God can identify with these words. We will all suffer. Through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom of God. The Lord's people will know what it is to suffer. We're called to believe, but also to suffer. As the apostle makes plain in Philippians chapter 1. In my distress. You know what it is to echo these words this morning. Well, remember this, dear brethren. Your sympathizing high priest is touched. Because he knew what it was to say these words. In my distress, think of David, but then think of Christ. And take comfort. If he was able to say these words, he understands my situation. When I'm in straits, he sympathizes. For he was in such difficulty himself. Well, let's move on. Consider secondly, in earnest prayer. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. In earnest prayer. In my distress, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed to the Lord. Now we read this morning, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And when we're in difficulties, when we have cares before us, we're to cast them on the Lord, we're to go to him. He was in distress, the psalmist. He prayed. Our Lord was in distress. He prayed. That's what we're to do. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, we may be so troubled, like the psalmist in the depths, Psalm 130, verse 1. But oh, make sure you pray. Follow the example here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. When we find ourselves entering a valley, go quickly to your Lord, to your captain. How we need to pray. You remember Hezekiah, when he received the blasphemous letter from Sennacherib, he turned to the Lord, 2 Kings 19. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. He turns and he prays. When something is brought to you and it burdens you, turn to God, who cares for you. In my distress, I called. He called upon the Lord. He cried. It's earnest, isn't it? He felt the sorrow. He cried to the Lord. He prayed. Remember again our Lord in Hebrews 5 verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. You see, such was the trials our Lord faced. It made him to so cry. And he wept in prayer. Yes, he rejoiced. We know that. But there were times when he so wept in prayer. Let's not be ashamed to cry in our praying. Our Lord wept when he prayed. He felt the burden. With strong crying and tears unto him. I'd rather pray with tears than pray an empty prayer that is just said on my lips. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried. Not just, it was such an earnest prayer, but he felt it. He wept. Dear brethren, put thou my tears into thy bottle, says the psalmist in Psalm 56 verse 8. He remembers your afflictions. He takes note of your tears. He takes note of those tears you shed when you are praying to him. Psalm 22. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Psalm 69 verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of deep waters. He wept, he prayed, he cried to the Lord for deliverance. Follow the Lord's example. In my distress I called upon the Lord. He knew what it was to so pray in affliction. He knew what it was to weep in his prayers. Don't be ashamed of crying in your prayer to the Lord. Oh, to earnestly pray. Cry from the depths. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Out of the depths. He wasn't delivered from them yet. But there in those depths, out of them, he prayed. The Holy Spirit was moving his soul, prompting him to pray, to cry unto the Lord. Out of the depths. Deliverance had not yet come, but there in the depths he cried to the Lord. And as you cry to the Lord, remember the Lord desires to hear and loves to see you crying out to him. You know, it's very heartwarming, isn't it, for a parent to see their child come. And maybe they have a little tear coming down their face and just ask, help, help. The Lord loves to see his children genuinely coming. They may come in tears, but crying out like a child for help. No matter how low you feel or the situation you are in, cry out to the Lord. The Lord knew what it was to be very low. Troubles filled his soul. Psalm 88. Psalm 61 verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. Lead me, Lord, because I feel my weakness. I cannot go to thee of myself. Lead me and help me to pray. I wonder how often do we pray this to the Lord. Lord, when I face the next situation, help me to pray. It's a good thing to make that prayer when things are going a little easier. We're not in the large place yet, and we do expect more trials, don't we? So make that little prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me in the next trial to pray. Lead me in the next trial. Dear brethren, go and talk to the Lord your covenant God, who never breaks his word. Go to your heavenly Father who has such pity for you. Go to your faithful shepherd who in great compassion and skill leads you on. Go to your loving comforter who is able to bring a word to your soul. Go and tell him your concern. Go and tell everything to him. Let's do it, dear brethren. Think of a child, they may be keeping certain things back, but then one day, they just let it out to their parent. The mother or the father may say to the child, is there something the matter? No. But then they begin to cry and then they let it all out. Are you worried about something? No. But then they begin to speak. Pour it out to him, dear brethren. Talk to him. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Go to him who's going to deliver you. Do we believe he will deliver? Or have you unbelief? And so you won't bring it to the Lord, this situation. Oh, it's been a long time. What's the point of praying? In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Talk to him. Exercise faith. Believe. Pour out your heart, John Bunyan wrote, there is in prayer an unbosoming of a man's self, an opening of the heart to God, an affectionate pouring out of the soul's requests in sighs and groans. Sometimes we don't say audible words, but it's the thoughts of the heart, the groans within, and their prayers. We're surveying it, we're bringing it to the Lord. In your distress, go to the one you need, dear brethren. When you feel you find trouble and sorrow, go to the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 3 and 4, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Consider the Lord's example. Many will be thinking of the sorrows of Christ. What can we learn of? We'll learn this morning, that when our Lord was in great sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the way to the cross and on the cross itself, he earnestly prayed. Dear brethren, let us earnestly pray. Wrestle humbly, but also earnestly with the Lord in prayer. Wrestle humbly. As we shall consider tonight, we are not worthy to be heard. We are not worthy to dine with Christ. There should always be humility in our prayers. May the Lord save us from any pride in our prayers. That there always be humility, but also this earnestness. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. The thirdly and finally this morning, in thankfulness to God. Let's remember, as we note from the title of the psalm, these were offered as praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Now there's a lesson here. In our distress we pray to the Lord. When we're delivered we ought to thank him. Are we so earnest in thanking God when we've been delivered as we were when we were in the distress? Learn the testimony here. Here's a song of thanksgiving. I was in distress. The Lord heard me. I will praise thy name. I will call upon the Lord, we read in verse 3, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He looks back. He has to face death yet. But he's giving praise to the Lord. He's raising this song of thanksgiving. God heard him and he was so thankful. Note the words in verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He heard. How amazing. God hears us. Oh, to remember, we come to a great God. Over these last few days in Birmingham, I've been listening to a pastor from America speaking on the concerns he has, what he sees in America. Careless worship and casual worship. This casual worship. He spoke of sloppiness, casualness in the pulpit. We come to our great God. How amazing, dear brethren, that he who is so holy, infinitely holy, listens to us. Does it not lead us to consider his amazing grace and his amazing love, that such a God as he is should listen to us? Do not we go on then to bring our thanks to us? A high view of God will make us more thankful, dear brethren. How amazing that God should listen. He heard our prayer. He heard my voice. It was weak. I was struggling. I hardly could say words, but he heard me. How amazing is our Heavenly Father that he listens just to the stumbling words in a prayer. He heard our voice. He heard David's voice. He heard Christ's voice. Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was heard. The Father heard the Son. The evidence is, verse 16, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Again, I say, look at Psalm 40 this coming week. He was heard. Our Lord was thankful. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. He brought me up, he put a new song in my mouth, on the day of resurrection, as the commentators make known to us. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. We have. We've taken note that the Lord offered thanksgiving on the day of resurrection. As we see in the Psalms and in the New Testament. Our Lord was thankful. David was thankful. Let us be thankful. We have been heard and we will be heard. Let's be in anticipation. Here's the psalmist. He's looking back. And you may be looking back this morning, or you may be looking at the present situation. Well, note the words of this psalm and be in anticipation. God hasn't changed. We look around at this nation. This nation has changed. And we're under the judgment of God, as we were reminded by the Reverend Morris Roberts in Birmingham on Friday. This nation is being given up to what it wants. What a judgment that is. But God has not changed. He will hear your prayer. God hears, dear brethren. Now God hears all things. However, God listens in a special way to his people. He bows down his ear. He inclines his ear. Psalm 116 verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He carefully attends in a gracious way what is uttered from the hearts of his people in humility and in faith. What condescension. Dear brethren, he's listening. He's listening to you now. At this present time. Have you a burden on your soul? Go to him. He's listening. And your Father is ready to hear you. He's ready to hear your prayer. He listens to so many of his people. Today. But he has got time to listen to you. How amazing that is, dear brother. At a youth meeting sometimes it's not easy to listen to the children. Sometimes they come up to me, could I have this? Could I have this? And I have to say, can you just stop a minute? I'm a little bit deaf. One at a time. Consider the Lord. All of us here can pray now. And every believer in this world could pray now. And he would hear every prayer clearly. And would give time for everyone. How great God is. How amazing God is. Such a holy God listens to us. He has time for us, dear brethren. Dear brethren, he listens out in those dark times you face. His ears are open. And he will answer. And in time he will deliver. Let's be thankful. Here's David. He's in thankfulness to God. Take comfort in these words. And raise your thanksgiving. Psalm 116 verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. Returning praise to him. And there's one more thing in conclusion. Just go back to verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. Raise your thanksgiving. But dear brethren, love Christ more. When we think how the Lord has delivered us, we ought to love him more. Deliverances, answered prayer, should stir us up to love the Lord more. When God hears you and delivers you, be thankful and tell him that you love him. May our love for Christ, may our love for the Lord be stirred up. Our Lord, when he was here upon earth, was in great distress. He cried unto the Lord. His love for him was constant. I love the Lord. Before he left the upper room, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he sang Psalm 116. I love the Lord. Dear brethren, let's keep singing those words. Let's make known our love to him, but also our thanksgiving for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray.